seats. Amen. As we listen to his word this morning, we know that his Holy Spirit will come.
Amen.
Because his spirit is the spirit of the word. And wherever his word is, wherever his word is accepted, then that's where you'll find him. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Good to be with you. Good to see each one. Just want to get into the service this morning. And so if we go ahead and, will we have scriptures up here? Okay. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Electronics is pretty neat to have, you know, but boy, they sure can throw your curveballs too.
That's right.
You know, but we just use it what we can for the Lord. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's go to Psalms 91, verses 1 through verse 10. Psalms 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him, our Heavenly Father. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We want to just surrender it all to you now. Just ask God that you'd speak to us today. Lord, that you'd meet every need that's in this building today. We ask God that you'd speak to every heart. Lord, that you'd come in your great Holy Spirit and cause these words to ring out, Lord, in their own walk and their own life, and give them light for their pathways. Lord, we just are assembled here for that purpose, Lord, to give honor to you, worship you, and ask God that you'd just live through us and guide us. And so we commit this time into your hands. And as always, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And you can be seated. Everybody loves the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to us. So today I want to talk to you about staying underneath the token. And so we'll just kind of get in there and see what the Lord has for us. So, you know, the scripture tells us that all the Old Testament, all the writings in the Bible were there for our admonition. Right? We read that in the New Testament, and it tells us that you can go back and you can read all these things in the Old Testament, all the different stories and all the different things that happened to different people. And the scripture said they're for our example and for our admonition, and so that we can look at those things and learn from them. And it is full, the Bible is full of types and shadows. I wasn't never really aware of that so much until I came to the message. And Brother Branham called himself a typologist. And you can't go wrong with being a typologist, because when God lays down a type or a shadow, then it has to be the way that type and that shadow declares it. Because if it doesn't, then it would be worthless to have types and shadows, right? So Brother Rem said, you know, he gave the example, if you had a shadow and you was looking at the shadow and it looked like the shadow of an elephant or something like that, and then, but the closer the shadow gets, then it turns out to be a little old spindly man that's making the shadow, something's wrong. Because if it's a man, it should make a shadow like a man, and if it's an elephant, it should make a shadow like an elephant.
Yeah.
So when the scriptures has these types and these shadows, then they declare very clearly the way things are going to be pertaining to whatever that's a type of shadow to, because it has to be correct, it has to be right. And so coming to the message has helped me to understand that, and I found out that I too am a typologist.
Yeah.
And so I really like those things. And of course, you can take types and shadows and you can make them so spiritual that you lose their meaning, okay? But they are there, and they're for a purpose. And so we're going to talk about the token today, and about God delivering Israel and the type that was, and the shadows of those things to come. And so we find out in when Israel, and I'll just kind of, I know most of you know this, but just to, for those that might not know, when God had picked Abraham, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob had the 12 children, 12 patriarchs, they're just like us, and they got into trouble because Joseph was a spiritual man, he was the Christ among them, and they rejected that gift of Christ among them, and because they rejected him, it caused them to go down into Egypt and go into bondage. And so several hundred years, about 400 years, a little more than that, had passed by. And of course, Joseph was well known in Egypt there because of what God did through him. But the scripture said there arose another Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And so what happened there was this Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, he began to persecute and bring the children of Israel into bondage. And you know, it's going to happen. It was going to happen. Why? Because the promised land is where they were supposed to be.
Right.
And they had gotten away. Now pay attention. They had gotten away from where they were supposed to be. And when you get away from where you're supposed to be, if you're a child of God, guess what's coming? Something to drive you back. And that something, in most cases, if not all, is very painful.
Yeah.
Right? And so God will let things rise up in your life. He let this Pharaoh rise up because his whole intent and purpose was to get them back to the promised land where they should have been in the first place. But because of their failure, because of them rejecting Joseph, they wound down there. And the whole thing was a permissive will of God, if you want to say that way, that actually worked out to the perfect will of God to get them back into their homeland. But so God allowed this Pharaoh to rise up. He began to bring the children of Israel into bondage. And at some point, the children of Israel began to cry out for the very thing that God wanted them to have in the first place. But you realize God cannot do that. He could not do that until they begin to cry for it. Right? So you reject Christ, you'll find yourself in some place. And listen, he'll want you back. He wants you back. But you know what? Things are going to rise up. And at some point, when you finally realize who you are and how bad you've been, that you're a sinner and you need him, when you begin to cry out for that, he hears that cry of desperation, and he'll come and deliver you from the very thing he let come upon you because you rejected him.
Amen.
We see that's what happened here with the children of Israel. And so, but when it come time for him to deliver the children of Israel, he came and he sent Moses down there, and Moses began to perform these miracles that God sent him to do. It was actually God through the prophet Moses. But there was one plague after another, and he'd go into Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh's like, "What? Get out of here. What are you talking about?" And but so then God would pour out a plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And so then he'd come in to Pharaoh again and say, "Let my people go." And so this went on and over and over. You know, and I would think after a while that Pharaoh would have said, after about two or three plagues and it being exactly what Moses was going to say, I think I'd start going, you know what, I might need to listen to this guy.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, to me, it defies all understanding. How is it that this Pharaoh was so stupid that he would challenge this? But you know what? You see it in people's lives today.
Right.
How is it they can't see what's going on? That they're going through these judgments and these things because they got away from the Word.
Yep.
But yet they do it. Mm-hmm. It just seems hard to fathom. And you know what? I'm not condemning them because you know what? There's probably been times I've done that and probably times you've done that, right? You know, as they say, a blind hog will find an acorn once in a while, right? Yep. And so sooner or later, Pharaoh should have figured this out, but these plagues begin to come, and so I know we've talked about the token quite a bit in the past, but and not to try and repeat anything, but just to set the frame of what I'm trying to share with you this morning. And so there was all these plagues that kept happening, and there was lice, and there was frogs, and there was hail, and you name it, water turning to blood. And see, all of these things were a problem for Egypt, but none of those things caused Pharaoh to let them go. He didn't let them go when there was frogs. He didn't let them go when there was lice. He didn't let them go when there was boils and darkness in the land. He didn't let them go. But there was one final plague that God brought up on Egypt that was the big bang that made Pharaoh let them go. And this is all a type of things that God can do ever so many things in this world. He can do ever so many things in your life. But Satan knows he doesn't have to let you go until it comes right down to this last thing
that
God wants to do in your life. And this last thing that he wants to do in your life will guarantee that Satan has to let you go. He can't hold you. And that last plague that was coming was death to the firstborn in the land of Egypt. God had sent the death angel, and he was coming to Egypt, and he had been given a commission and held the power of God to visit every household in Egypt, including the house of the children of Israel, and to take the life of every firstborn child in every family in the entire land, not just of the homes, but also of the beasts. Every firstborn cow or bull or dog or chicken, every one of them were to die that night,
yeah.
Right? That was the commission, and it was of God,
yeah.
Because God, and I've said this many times, you know, God knew that it was going to take this kind of thing to get Pharaoh's attention, to get him to let the people go.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to have a weapon powerful enough, and many times the weapon that's powerful enough to destroy your enemy can hurt you if you don't get in line with it.
That's right.
Right? We've said this before about our friendly fire and stuff when we're in wartime or whatever, and we want to send in the things to destroy our enemy to get our people out, but our people have to be in the right place or they get destroyed too.
Yeah.
Right? And so God was going to set children of Israel free, and he had to bring a powerful enough plague upon the land that Pharaoh would let them go. But it just so happens that on this particular last plague, that it was so powerful that the children of Israel had to be careful, and they had to follow instructions to be in a safe place that God had provided. And so we know that to be what was called the token. And so what the token was that the children of Israel had to take a firstborn lamb, and I think it could have been a goat too, if I remember correctly, but a firstborn. And they would inspect it. It would have to be without spot or without blemish. It'd be a male, firstborn, had all these things. And so they would take this lamb, and they would slay it. And they'd take the blood, and they'd put it over the door of their house, over the top and the side post of their house. And so on the night of the Passover, the night where this death angel was going to come down and destroy, on that night they had this. That day before that, slay that lamb, put the blood over the doorpost, go inside that house and take that lamb, the meat from that lamb that they had slain, and it had to be roasted with fire. They had to eat that lamb. They had to eat it with their staff in their hand, shoes on their feet, mm-hmm. eating bitter herbs.
Yeah.
Right? They had to do all that, and all those things were a type because Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. He was the one, and it was his blood that's got to be covering your life, right? And he is the Word, so we consume, we eat the Word of God, we take that into us to be the strength. And we have to be associated with the pain and the sorrow. And so the bitter herbs was there to show the bitterness of the bondage of sin that they were in, and what that lamb had to go through and all the different things. All that was a type of Jesus Christ being our Savior, being the one who died for us. And so when he was delivering Israel, he had to go through a series of all these plagues and so forth to bring the token and actually get them set free. And it was by that token that he did set them free, took them in an Exodus. And so as we look at this token, at the way that God had this brought out, Brother Branham tells us a little bit about this, and I have more quotes than I could read, and so I may not actually read any, but I have them. If anybody wants to see them, we certainly, and if you've listened to the token message and the message of desperation right after that, then you'll know that these things I'm saying is what he talked about. But so this there was one plague after another plague after another plague, and none of those things caused Pharaoh to let him go, but every one of those things was weakening Pharaoh. And so I've never done this before, but so we talk about how we had all the seven church ages, the pyramid with the capstone at the top, okay? And so we had the seven ages, and each age had a messenger that God would send that would bring the truth for that day, and it brought it all the way up. And we always talk about that, how that there was all these messengers, and all that God had done, it was all the work of God, it was all required, but it was incomplete until the capstone came. And when the capstone came down, it took all that that was and made it all come together. And we know about how all the saints of previous ages, it takes this end-time movement of God to bring them out in a resurrection. So it takes the capstone to make sense out of all the rest. And even though all the rest was part of God's doings, those things didn't get the complete job done until the capstone came. And so you find out that there was one plague after another plague after another plague, and all those things meant something. They're all something God was doing, but none of them come to completion until that last plague. And Brother Bram said the token, when that token was brought to them, that capped off all the other things that God had been doing. So that token, that these things that God has done in the world, they're not complete until he puts a capstone on top of it. What he does in your life, it's not complete until you reach this capstone event in your life, which is token. And so you find out that this is what happened. And so by that final event that did make everything come together, that is how he set the people free. So we find out that death was the last plague. And so death, it was going to come through all the land, and God provided this token as a safe place, as a safe condition, and everything out from underneath token. Brother, sister, everything outside of that token was death.
Yep.
Right? Everything. Okay? So if this was the house right here that the blood was applied to, everything outside of these four walls was death. And to go out there was death. So we had to be under the token. They had to be under the token in order for this death angel not to get to them.
Right.
And so, you know, war seems cruel, you know. But, you know, it requires that kind of thing to get the job done. And so everything outside the token was not a safe place. The token was the only place where it was safe. Safe. So Brother Branham said, this is how God did this. He said, first, this is the way he brought the deliverance of the children of Israel. He said, he named them in order. He said, number one, he sent a prophet. Number two, he identified himself with that prophet with the pillar of fire. Right? And then number three, by that vindicated prophetic message that the pillar of fire was accompanying, by that man would deliver to his people the token. That's what he said. Does it sound like that perhaps we could be familiar with that in this day? That God would send a prophet, and he wouldn't just be a prophet, but he would actually have a visible pillar of fire identification and that it would be that ministry that would deliver to us the information we needed to be under the token. And that's exactly what God did. So he did that in that day. And you know, Brother Branham said, anybody can say anything, but for it to be vindicated, that's different. And some people will say, well, you know, Brother Branham was standing there talking about himself. He might have been. But I will tell you something. He was a prophet, and he did have the pillar of fire with him. Yeah. Nobody else did.
Right.
Not in our day. So, you know what? I've always said, well, and there was a movie, I think one of those Christian movies said, well, it ain't bragging if it's true. And I've always said that, you know, not to be arrogant, but it'd just be funny. Well, it's not bragging if it's true.
Yeah.
If he was a prophet, and he was, and if the pillar of fire identified himself, then it's not bragging. He's not, you know, Brother Branham was very humble,
right.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And so because, and this is what I'm saying, we have to get in the channel the way God does things. And the world will tell you, oh, here's how we can be saved. And here's, no, God's channel was, he'll send a prophet, the pillar of fire will be made known among him. And that ministry is going to deliver to us what is a token in our day. Going to give us that information. And so that's what he did. And so Brother Branham comes along and he says, this is, I think, in the desperation message, which is the message the night after he preached token the first time. But Brother Branham said, he said, of all the sermons, of all the different sermons and the things that God has done in his ministry, he said, that sermon that I preached that morning, which was talking about token, the token sermon, he said, all of the sermons since the seals and all the different things, and he names a bunch of the different messages that he preached, he said, all of those was capped off by this morning's sermon, which was the token. Now, what I'm showing you there is that God had done one thing after another to make Pharaoh let the children of Israel go. And the final act of that was referred to as a capping off, a capstone to everything that God had done. And Brother Branham is standing here saying, you know, all the things, all the sermons that God has delivered and the opening of the seals and all that has come down and led down. And what to the capping off was the greatest sermon right there was the token. So that goes to show you that everything that God had been telling us through that prophet, all pertinent things, all things that we needed to know in order for our experience to begin to be set free from this world, to begin set free from denominational mindset, all of these truths, all of these sermons were things, was one plague after another upon Pharaoh who's holding your life. Right? And so Brother Ram said, all of those sermons come right down and the whole thing was capped off with the token message. So we understand that the token is the finishing up of everything that God was doing, and that in itself capping off of all the sermons to enter into that, you're going to be set free. And of course, he said, you know, all through the ages, Luther, they lauded it to be a certain thing, and Wesley's lauded it to be a certain thing, and those things, he said, we've talked about it all along through the ages. But you see, right here at the end time, we finally come to the place where the literal presence of Jesus Christ comes to live in his people at his coming for his bride. And that's the token life.
Amen.
And so, it was all capped off by the token message, not by something else, not by another ministry, not by another teacher, not by social media, not by the newspaper, not by what you can find on CNN or anybody else. That's not where it's coming from. It's not coming from all that. It's coming from that vindicated prophet with a pillar of fire. That's where it's going to come from to understand what to do to be saved, set free in this hour. So the token brings him into you and makes him and you one unit. This is what Brother Ram said. The Holy Spirit comes and he makes the literal life of Jesus Christ in you. You and he become one unit where he's in you living out what he wants to live out through you. He will use your nature, your character, and you know, if you're a person that can easily have compassion on someone, then maybe he'll channel himself through that nature of yours to have compassion. Or maybe he needs somebody that's a little bit gruff and rough and insert him, then he'll work and use that person. But my point is that you and he, as the scripture says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? They shall be one, not as one. They shall be one flesh, right? Not as one, but one. And so Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That oneness that we're talking about is not as one, but it is one.
Right.
So it brings him into you as one unit to live through you and for God to be there. And that shouldn't be strange to us, because the scripture tells us, what house will you build me, saith the Lord, and where is the place of my rest?
Yeah.
I mean, really, think about it. He spanned the heavens and the earth. He spanned all these things. And I know if you stop and think about it, how the even our solar system, I've been messing around a little bit with solar panel, trying to do some solar energy collection or whatever, and you have to track the sun if you want to do it right. And I got to thinking, man, year after year after year after hundreds of years after a thousand years, those things move across the sky just like, you know, over and over, always the same. You know, got a certain circuit and a certain pattern they do. And every year on December 21st, they know right exactly where that sun's going to be at a certain time of day.
Yeah.
And any other day of the year. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, he spanned all this in these huge bodies. I could not orchestrate marbles to roll around on the floor and be consistent.
Yeah.
But yet he throw these things off out there, and they're just moving exactly one thing after another. Where can you get that in anything man's done?
Yeah.
He can't. See? But God spanned all that, and he's made all the universe, and then we're going to come along and say, I'll tell you what, I'll build a place for him to live. Mm-hmm. Really? Who's going to do that? Nobody can, see? But I tell you what, he's the builder of the house.
Yeah.
He knows what he wants to live in. He knows what suits him. So he, from the beginning, he knew exactly what he was going to live in, and he was going to live in his people. That was the whole purpose. So his whole plan of redemption was to bring him down where he could tabernacle himself in us, so that he and us as one unit living out his life. So that's what Tolkien is. This is the capstone of everything he wanted to do, was to get this thing to a place where he could come down and live in you, him in you, right, the creator.
Yeah.
And brother, sister, when you've got him in you, you don't need nothing else.
That's right.
You don't care whether you've got a pair of clothes for tomorrow or not. When he is really that reality for you. And so that shouldn't surprise us, because it says, what house will you build me? Where is the place of my rest? God has done all these things, and he's made a place for himself to live. The scripture tells us that she is that city of God. You know, we have a physical Jerusalem, the city of peace. Jerusalem, peace, city of peace. And Melchizedek was the king of Jerusalem, king of peace. Right? Which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to be a king of a city, which is going to be the city of peace, but it's not an earthly Jerusalem. It's a heavenly Jerusalem. And the scripture tells us more than once, John, he goes to see the heavenly Jerusalem, and he looks, and it's a city descended from God as a bride adorned for her husband. It's the church. He's going to live in his church. We are that place that he wants to dwell in, right? That's what his whole plan was, you know, I spent a long time building my house, and guess where I live now? In the place I spent all the time to build it,
yeah,
right? And he says, I'm going to go away, and I'll prepare a place for you, uh-huh, right? And he's prepared it. Guess where we're going to live?
Uh-huh.
Guess where he's going to live, right? In that future home.
Yeah.
See? So he's done those things. And so she is that city of God, what descended down, that he's going to dwell in. And if you look at it, it sounds like a physical thing there he's talking about. Maybe it will be, but it has so many foundations and so many gates, and it represents the apostles and the prophets, and we're all stones. We're all part of this building of God. So this is a city that represents the bride of Jesus Christ, that in the ages and eternity come, God will dwell in his people, and the glory of God will be round about her. Because where God is, his glory emanates out from that, right? And so when you've seen the description there of that city coming down from in heaven, coming from the Word, and it's this bride adorned for a husband, and the glory of God is around that city. Why? Because God's going to live there.
Yeah.
That's his glory, right? So if you can grasp that whole thing, he wants to live in you and the glory of God to be around about you all the time.
That's right.
His presence there with you, and if God is with you, then I'd say his glory is there. Maybe you won't see it in the physical eye, but there's things that go on in the spirit realm that God is doing constantly through the believer's life. So his glory is around her. There's a lot of things we could talk about on that. And so this is what the token is. It's the one act. The frogs didn't do it. The lice didn't do it. See what I'm saying? No, they didn't have the shed blood of this lamb. And when the shed blood of the lamb being a type of the life that was in Christ coming on his people, right? Couldn't do it with a lamb because it was not human life. But he was human life, and so when he died on Calvary, his spirit come back to live in us.
Yep.
Right? But see, frogs didn't do it, lice didn't do it, darkness didn't do it, but the token did it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And so over here, going to church and joining this and joining that and going to church camp and all these things, they don't do it.
Right.
Might be good, God might be doing some things in it, but that doesn't set you free completely.
Yep. Right.
But that life of Christ coming in, making one unit, you and him together, living through you, the glory of God, that does it.
Amen.
That's what does it, see? And nothing else will do it. And you can't get that through Facebook or through the news or through friends and all. You get it through a message that was delivered by a vindicated prophet who had the pillar of fire.
Yeah, right.
That's where you get it. We can't even go to Apostle Paul and get that because that was his age. We're talking about this age.
Yeah.
There is a prophet that has been present in a pillar of fire that's present bringing to us a token message. And we believe that.
Yeah.
And so this token brings him into you. So in this token plague, in this plague that was coming for death, and the token was a safety zone, in this particular plague, the people had to be involved. And all the other ones, the children of Israel just sat back and Moses went and did all these things and all these plagues happened. But when he come to this last one, this is where the people had to show they believed it. They had to show that they had believed what God was doing through that prophet and that prophet was right and that this thing was fixing to happen. They had to believe that, because if they didn't believe it, they wouldn't have done it, right? Because I can tell you, if they did not believe Moses' message, they didn't kill their lamb, they did not put the blood over the doorpost, right? They wouldn't have done it. But this particular plague, in order to avoid the one that was going to get the job done, you had to be in a safety zone, and you had to show that you believed that that was a safety zone by going through the process of slaying the lamb, getting the blood, going in and carrying out these acts of the token while death was going on. You had to show that. And they did. And it's the same today. We have to do that. And so this plague the people had to be involved in it. And so we hear this phrase where Brother Rim says, full obedience to the word of God entitles you to the token. And so this is true. And we automatically go, well, I make mistakes. There's no way I can be full obedient. You know, how many knows what I'm talking about? Satan will always tell you, well, you got faith. You know, there's no way. I'm not trying to discredit that, but what I want to try to put you in a different light of things here. The children of Israel stood there and they watched every plague happen. They watched what God was doing. They watched and seen that prophet was vindicated. They knew the word of the Lord was in him. The pillar of fire was with him. And they watched them plagues one after another happen against their enemy and bring it right up to token message. And then they were given this opportunity. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Do you believe everything that God has been doing? And if you believe everything he's been doing, then obviously you're going to get under the token because you believe it. And so full obedience to jump in and put yourself in here to go through these things will entitle you to that token.
Right.
Now let me say it this way. You can slay the lamb, and you can do all these things and get in underneath there. And obedience to all these things to show that you believe it entitles you to the protection of the token. See what I mean? Because it looks like they're doing all the token, but it's really the recognition of God that he gives them because they've shown they believe it.
Yeah.
See, you have to believe it to the place where you act it out.
Yeah.
You can't be a private thing. It has to be on display for everyone to see. Everybody's got to know it. When the death angel comes to the door and he knocks on the door, oh, I'm your neighbor. Come here. Come on out. Because he's going to try and trick you, right?
Sure.
Satan tries to trick you. But when that happens, you're supposed to, what's supposed to be at the door? The token.
Yeah.
The life of Christ. That's supposed to be there. So you don't open the door, you don't let him in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't let the death angel in. He's not going to because he sees the blood there in the first place. But you understand what I'm getting at is that if you're supposed to stay in there, you want to stay in there. So, full obedience, again, to believe what God has done in your day. And you see these things. You've seen the maniac there that was fell on Brother Brandon's feet. You've seen the Word of God, the third pull manifestation. You've seen the accuracy. You've seen all the events, the cloud and the angels there in Arizona. And you watch all that. And do you believe it? Is there some portion of this that you don't believe? Do you think he missed something somewhere? See, that message was from God, and you see that coming along. Do you believe those things? And if you really believe those things, then you're going to listen to what he says about token.
Yeah.
And you're going to obey that. And by obeying that, that entitles you to the protection, to the token itself, the life of that you're doing. Okay, that he's told you. So full obedience does entitle you to the token. And so he gave this to them. Now think about it. They were in bondage. Pharaoh had them. They weren't getting free. It's like that movie of Abraham that they put out, you know. And Hagar says to Sarah, you don't escape. You don't get out of here. I forget the words it was, but nobody escapes from here. Right? Nobody gets out from Satan unless, of course, they have the token.
Yeah.
Then they get free.
Right.
See? And so he had them down, bound down. They couldn't come free. And then God comes along, and he's going to set the people free, and he shows himself vindicated, and no question about it. God, I mean, these Egyptians, man, they're just squalling in the ground, in the dirt looking for something to drink and all these things. And then he says, okay, but do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to obey me? And for someone to say, no, I don't believe it. As Brother Brennan said, he sends his gifts and he sends the Holy Spirit and he does all these things. And then for them to not believe, the only thing left is judgment.
Yeah.
Could you imagine to stand there for God to say, I've let down this scarlet thread from heaven and showed you the way to get out, and you don't want to follow it? You don't want to listen to this last thing here? I have vindicated all the way up this, and now here we are, this one thing I'm asking you to do, and this will finish it off, and you don't want to do it? That would be an insult. That would be an insult. Listen, saints, there are billions of people. I'll say millions, I don't know, but just for the understanding of what I'm getting at. There's millions or billions of people that's never heard the name Jesus Christ and never will, not this side of their death. And there's millions and billions that's never heard of William Branham, of an end-time prophet, of a token message, but you've heard it.
That's right.
You've heard it not once, not twice, not three times, but hundreds of times.
Right?
Right?
Yep.
You've heard it. So we're not off the hook, see? We're not off the hook because God has shown us this vindicated thing. And you children, you young people, you've seen it. Maybe you haven't had an experience of the Holy Ghost yet, but you've seen it. Like I had a man sit right back here one time and tell me. He said, I don't get anything from God. I've tried. He said, I know he's real because I see him in my dad and I see him in you, Brother Tony. But I get nothing. And I know that his own testimony will condemn him if he doesn't, because God said, in the day that you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you find me. Like I told a brother last night, if in your heart you want to be back to God, then you are back to God. Because God don't play.
That's right.
It's exactly what he means. He means what he said, and he sent a vindicated voice, and he expects us to listen to that and to obey that. And he's not, I mean, it's in our hands. Brother Ram said, the token, this thing, when you've seen what God has done, you've seen him come in these last days with his pillar of fire and with divine healing and all these things, he said, it ought to throw us into desperation. And it should.
That's right.
See? That the hour is at hand. That these things require us of the urgency to stand with our staff in our hands and our shoes on our feet, knowing that rapture is imminent.
Yeah.
And eat that lamb, listen to that word, and stay behind that protection and that token that's been given to us by this vindicated prophet. To stay there, see, it should have a desperation. I'm not just going to piddle around. I'm going to be standing here by the table eating that lamb with my staff in my hand. I'm not going to horse around about this. See, and if we're not doing that, we've lost the desperation and the sincerity and the urgency that should go with it. And if you go listen to this, Brother Ram said, we should be ever so desperate because we've seen this hour has come and we've come right down and we know it's a positive proof the token is required right now. We see that. And yet somehow or another, we just become so relaxed and so forth. And so, He brought them down to this place where he gives them, and then we now have the responsibility to decide, do I believe it? And if I really believe it, if you really believe it, you're going to show up. I've said many times, if I said, you know, tomorrow I'm going to give out $100 bills to everybody who comes in the church door tomorrow at noon. If you really believe that and you had a way to get here, you'd be here tomorrow if you want a $100 bill. Uh-huh. If you really believed it. And if you really believe these things, then your life's going to be different. You're going to be conducting yourself differently. You're going to be doing the things that gets God's attention, that he might come and confirm to you this token experience by giving you that token, the protection of that token. And so he delivers this to them, and they had a responsibility now that God had vindicated, showed you I'm here, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I require. Now they had a responsibility to get underneath that token. The dad had a responsibility to go out and find that lamb and to get that thing ready and to slay it and put that blood over the doorpost, make sure it was cooked. Roast with fire. They had the bitter herbs, the staff, the clothes, and to make the announcement. Now's token time. Get in here, family.
Yeah.
He had that responsibility. Mm-hmm. How do you think it makes the daddy feel when he sees this and all the desperation's in his heart? He's like, I want my children saved. I want them to know about this prophetic message, this vindicated voice. And he tries to talk to him, and he tries to tell people and his friends and his family, his children about it. He's wanting to do all that, and he's trying his best to get them all underneath that, and he sees them kicking up their heels at it all the time. But he can tell they don't want nothing to do with it. Come devotion time, they don't really want to come in there and spend any time in devotion. How do you think that makes him feel when he's desperate already? And you know, a man can be wore down. A man can get tired.
Yeah, right.
Always trying to say and do the right thing to those around him, even in his own household. He can get tired.
Yeah.
But in his own heart, he's just weeping because he knows this hour is here. God has made him a watchman to see it. He can see it. Whether everybody else in the city can see it or not, but they should have enough confidence on that man that if he says he sees an enemy coming, we ought to listen to it.
Amen.
Because the scripture says if you don't listen to that, your blood will be on your own head when that enemy comes in because you didn't prepare.
That's right.
Right? So they had a responsibility to get underneath that token. Daddy had a responsibility to get it out there and tell his family, get in here. Right? To share it. Tell them about it. Get them to look at it. Get them to feast on the word. Get them to be in devotions, to be in prayer time. He had that responsibility. Mom had a responsibility to talk to them kids and say, let's go, your daddy's right, come on. And always go in line with what daddy's trying to do. Not say, well, honey, I know you don't agree, and I don't know if I really do either. What? No, that's not what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to get right in line and bring them children and do everything she can do with her influence to get them to be in underneath that token too.
That's right.
And the children, you should have that attitude. You should say, this is the parents that God used to bring me in this world. They love me more than anybody else does other than God. And I know they would not be telling me something that would be bad for me. They want what's best for me. And even if I can't comprehend this token message, I'm going to obey my parents and be there at devotion time. Spend that time listening to tapes. I'm going to do those things that mommy and daddy have been trying to tell me to do. Right? We all have a responsibility to be under that token. Can't say, well, I didn't know, because you do know. He's brought it right to you.
Right.
Millions of people haven't had it brought to you, but he's brought it to you.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have that responsibility. And Brother Bam said, well, what if I'll have a foot hanging out? I'll get under the token, but I'll leave a foot hanging out. What kind of mentality would do that?
Yeah.
Think about it. Well, I'll just have an arm hanging out, everything, but I'm in here, you know. And then he ended it up by saying this, or didn't end it up, but he went next to say this. He said, what about your heart? What if your heart's hanging out? Now think about it. Yeah, I'll go through the motions, because mommy and daddy said do it, pastor said do it. I'll listen to it. I don't really want to, but I'll just do it. Your heart's hanging out.
That's right.
And you know what the results are. Back then, it was a physical thing they had to do. But we're talking about the life of Jesus Christ now being the token to get behind. And he knows if you're resentful.
That's right.
See, Brother Graham told us over and over and over, the Holy Spirit will not come upon the nature of a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will only come upon something that has like nature. So it had to be a lamb. And so if we have a nature about us, even in ourselves, if we have a nature about us that's contrary to the word, then he won't come because he's not welcome and he knows he's not welcome. Right? See? And we know that. So if you got your heart hanging out, then you're not in. You're not in. Even if you're going through the motions. Even if you pay your tithes and you're at church every time.
That's right.
If you're doing all that, but your heart's not in it, you're not in it.
That's right.
You're not under the protection of the token. And Brother Ram tells us this is true. We understand it's black and white. Very easy. We wouldn't have to have a prophet tell us this to know this, but I'll say it because he did. If you're not under the token, the wrath of God is upon you.
Yeah.
And you wonder why. People wonder why their lives is the way it is. Because they're out from underneath the token. Even when things are going chaotic, a person that's got the life of God in them, they're in peace. No, they might be going in travail in spirit, praying over things and have a burden, and they might go through trials. But there's a level of life and peace that's in there that's constant, remains.
That's right.
Because they know God. And they know that when their time is done here, they're with him. No question about it. And so, if your heart's not there, well, then you're not there. And if you go out from underneath, mommy and daddy, church, the pastor, the prophet of the age are telling you, warning you, but then if you decide to go out, then your blood is on your own hand, your own head. And so why would one want to go out? And I thought it was really interesting, Neil, to hear this. I felt really impressed to put this in my notes this morning. Brother Daniel, when he's opening service, he talked about respect. It's been burning in my heart. People should have respect to God. And you show your form of your respect to God by respecting his word, by respecting his people, by respecting the assembly of his people together in the house of God. There's all kinds of ways, and you show, and there's benefits. I can show you in my notebook, preach, titled, The Benefits of Respecting God. There's benefits to respect God. And you know, and I'm not much of one to be showy or whatever, but I think when you come to church, you should wear your Sunday best.
Yeah.
I do. You know what? At my place of employment, we're not allowed to wear shirts without a collar. We're not. Because they know that that does not present a professional appearance, so they will not let you wear shirts without a collar.
Right.
They don't want you wearing shirts that says some advertisement on it. They want you nice and presentable.
Yeah.
They ask for us to do that because they want us to have a right appearance. But I wonder, you know, when people come to the house of God, are they really wanting to present an imagery of the gospel and what they can to get people to understand that there's something here and we're just not just trashy old whatever? You understand what I'm saying? We should have our Sunday best on. We should come. We should be like soldiers. But we should be like the people around Solomon. Right? So that when people look at us, they say, look, man, these people, your servants, they're happy to be here serving you.
Amen.
They're happy to be in the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they are joyful about this.
Yep.
Right? Brother Tim, forgive me, but I'm going to use him for example. Brother Tim, he took the initiative to take the computer home to update it, something that needed to be done.
Yep.
And I don't think Brother Tim's like, man, I don't want to have to do this. What is this? He was happy to do this. Why? Because he's in service to the Lord. He's in service to his people.
Yeah.
I mean, brother, sister, we serve God. We serve his people. And that's how we do it. And if we don't do that, what is our life for?
Right.
We serve God. We serve one another. And that's the way we do serve God. Now, if you want to run and always satisfy self, your life is wasted.
Yeah, right.
See?
That's right.
But there's a way to respect. And if we really believe God, if we really believe the message, we will show our respect to that by obeying it and honoring it, by being in church on time, by not staying up too late the night before so we're sleeping in service the next day, by spending the time in prayer. You know what? The denominational systems out there, they live their life all week long, and then they go to church on Sunday, and then after they're done at church on Sunday, they go back to their life, and they live it all week until the next Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And then they go. And my point is they serve God on Sunday, but they don't do anything the rest of the week. And if we find ourselves as message believers and we say, oh, we believe a prophet, but we don't do the things we're supposed to be doing throughout the week, and we only do it on Sunday, how are we different than them?
That's right.
We're not any different than them.
Right.
So we go through motions and stuff, and we're not even doing that very good, and say we have the token. You see what I mean?
Right.
The real thing is the only thing that's going to make it work. Esau did not have respect to the birthright. In other words, God had said, this is the way it's going to be, and every man's going to have a land, and it's going to be his promise, and he'll be able to prosper and live there, and everything he'll have need, and that'll be passed down from father to son all the way down. And this is the path of life. This is the way you receive your promise, your Holy Ghost, your land, your ability to survive and live happily and have your children. This is the way you're going to have it. And he didn't respect it. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't like him either. When the scripture said before him and his brother was born, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And Brother Brandon said, it wasn't that he hated Esau, but he hated the fact that Esau had no respect to the word of God, to the life of God. And you could tell that he had no respect for it because it played out in his actions. He's willing to sell out the title he had for that birthright for a bowl of pottage because he was hungry.
Yep.
Right? When he should have said, I don't care if I ever eat again, you're not taking my birthright. But he didn't. What are we willing to sell out our birthright with? What are we willing to let in our lives? Well, you know, I don't feel like worshiping God today, so I think I'll watch a movie instead. You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
Sell out. But we says, you know what? I'm going to serve God. He's my number one. And I'm going to give honor and respect to him the way I know that I'm supposed to, the way this token message tells me that I should. And I'm going to seek God until I find within me a willing spirit to do these things happily and willingly. And then I'll know I'll have the token, because if I'm just doing it and going through the motions without it being in my heart, I know I'm wrong to begin with. He had no respect for the path of life, the path to freedom. These children of Israel were given, this is your path to freedom. And for them to say, well, I don't really care, you know, I want to go out here anyway. And then there's this thing like, well, it's not quite dark yet, so I'll go on out and visit my friends, and I'll get back before the death angel gets here, right? And saying, you know, it won't happen to me. But it does happen. And we've witnessed what happens to those that have left the token. You see what happens.
Yep.
Right? You see what happens. And so we have to show that we have respect for the path of life, the path to freedom. And so they were required to have the responsibility to be under the token, to be there. And follow through with these things. And then they were, Brother Remus today, they were required to get under the token and stay there until they're commissioned to go forward. And the way I just wrote it down here, until our body changed, until rapture. We have a commission of this truth, to get beneath this truth, to stay with this truth, hold true to it, both inside and out. And to stay in that condition until our bodies change.
Yes.
And we go through ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But when we go through downs, that's not an okay. That's not permission to go off outside the token.
Right?
We get angry sometimes, but that don't mean go out from under the token.
Right.
Because it's hard to get back in if you do. You can. It's an uphill climb. Ask anybody that served the Lord and went out how they had to come back. It's an uphill climb.
Right?
It is hard. Right? But they were required to get under there and stay under there. And I will say to you, if you have someone that's going out from underneath the token, who do you think is outside watching them? Do you know Satan's watching? Did you know Satan watches your actions? And do you know any enemy will watch you, and when he sees you compromise, he will seize upon that opportunity to benefit himself. And if we think that we're a match for Satan without Christ, oh, how foolish. Oh, how foolish. He's wiser than Daniel. Right? It was the anointed cherub that covereth. He knows about the program of God. And we're not going to outdo him in any way unless it's Christ in us. And he watches. And when we compromise, and when we say, you know what, I really shouldn't be on this website, but I am anyway, he sees it.
Right.
You know, I really shouldn't be saying this and gossiping and sharing. He sees it. And he seizes upon that opportunity.
Yeah.
And anybody that knows will tell you, it never starts out, he never comes and says, here, I'm the devil, and I'm here to ruin your day. It starts out little bitty something, and it's the little foxes. The spoil the vine.
That's right.
It's the little bit things. Listen, we're not murdering people. We're not out going out and doing some of the stuff like you're seeing in the news, like some of these people have done.
Mm-hmm.
We're not guilty of those things like that. Can't put those things on us. But it's the little things, little bitty things that just add up, that eventually at some point you look and you find out that your experience and your fellowship with God isn't what it used to be. See? We've got to stay under the token until. Get everybody we can underneath it and hold them there, keep them there, and have an environment where they want to be there.
Yes.
Right? Now listen, we've all made mistakes. That's fine. I'm not condemning anything about that. I'm just saying, look at what's before us, the opportunity. Let's move forward correctly. Let's adjust the things in our lives so that these things are present like they should be. And so Satan is watching, and he uses every compromise for his his advantage. And so I said a little while ago, outside of the token is death. Everything outside of the token life, which is Christ. He has come now, and we have a privilege, an opportunity now to have something that previous ages didn't have. And this is the path to life. And he says, do you have respect for it? And if you have respect for it, you show that respect by the way you treat it, the way you allocate it in your life, how you make preparation for this first. My wife's asked me one time about tithing and something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't remember the finances. And I said, and she knows this. She said, I knew you'd say that, you know, but we had a crunch of some sort. I don't know what it was. But anyway, she said, you know, tithing and offering, I said, first. It goes first, right? When I get up on Sunday morning, what do? God first, not just Sunday, but you understand. So we show our respect by how we make room in our lives, physically make room. My wife loves me. And she does all kinds of things physically, but she could do those things physically. If she didn't love me, she could still do those things, and it wouldn't be the same. See, it has to be from the heart. And so everything outside of that token is death. The literal life of Christ in you. And so now the Holy Spirit will not go outside the token. The Holy Spirit will not ask you to go outside the token. He will not anoint you to go outside the token. He will not give you confusion to confuse you so that you go outside the token.
Yeah.
Right? I know. I'm just following the inspiration of the Lord, okay? He will not tell you to go out there. And so if there's something out there, it's death. Why would he want you to go be partakers of something that has death in it? Why? As you hear, you know, have you a glass of milk, put one drop of poison in there, would you have it? Absolutely not. Why would you want to? The Holy Spirit is life. Why would he want to go out there or anoint you to go off out there? He won't. See? So my point is that in order for us to go out from underneath the token, we have to leave the token behind. We have to leave the Holy Spirit behind. We have to leave the protection behind. We have to leave the peace and the joy behind. Because out there, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to have joy. You're going to have sorrow. It's going to be one heartache after another. And all the while, you're going to know, I should be in there under the token, under the protection. But sin looks so good to the eye. So I'll just do this. See what I mean? He will not have you go out there because he doesn't eat on those things. And I ask you, does the Holy Spirit eat off of the tree of knowledge? Something to think about, isn't it? It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the thing about it is, if you eat this tree, oh yeah, you get good, but you also get evil. And you will not find the Holy Spirit eating on that because he doesn't need it. He doesn't want it. He has no appetite for it because it's contrary to the thing he is. It's death, right? So the Holy Spirit does not feed on those things, and he doesn't need those things. He doesn't need CNN. He doesn't need social media. Right? He doesn't need all that stuff. He doesn't need the things, and I say that because the things that captivate this generation. He doesn't need stock investments. Right? He doesn't need all that stuff. And I'm not saying that a person can't work and you have a day job and we know them. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a certain aspect of interaction we have with this world that we should and have to have with this world. But it's a very fine step from being what you should be and stepping one step further, and now you're outside the token.
Yeah.
Right? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we all have to work out our own salvation, fear, and trembling. We all have to come by wrestling with the Lord like Jacob did, to come to that place where we know we've wrestled it out from God and we know exactly where that line is. And I'm fine right here, but I'm not stepping over here. And it's Christ in you as one unit. You have to talk to him and work that out with him. He's your husband. And you work that out with him, and he'll tell you, here's where you need to be. And what he tells you will be agreement with his word. Because you have people come on and say, well, the Holy Spirit told me I could be here. Outside. And it's contrary to his word, so you know it's not the Holy Spirit. See? The Spirit of God will always agree with his vindicated word, his message, his Bible. It'll always will. And we all have that responsibility. You've got to say, am I going to get under that token? And when you have to ask yourself, you have to say, well, in order for me to get under the token, I have to leave these other things and my friends and all the social and all that kind of stuff. But you've got to come to that place where you see what God has done and you come to the place where you realize, I've got to separate from these things to be under the token. There has to be a separation. There has to be a rejection. Because as you come underneath that token, you receive the criticism that was the same judgment that went to the Lamb, right? You receive criticism from those outside, like Brother Branham said, they make fun of you. Oh, look at the blood. You old fogey. You holy roller.
Yep.
See? As I go through life, and every once in a while, I run into one of my friends that I went to school with. You know, one of the first things I'll tell him, what do you think you'd tell him? I'm a Christian. I'm a minister. Right off first, why? Because everybody's got to see where you stand.
Yeah.
You can't hide it. It has to be on display. Amen.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit don't eat on those things because he is the tree of life. And so he doesn't permit. And we have a message that tells us clearly. Brother Ram said, it made no difference how good you are, whether you speak in tongues. You might be a preacher. Your son might be a preacher. Your wife might be a preacher. It don't make no difference. It made no difference what you are. If you don't have that token, the wrath is upon you. And that token, he said, could only come at evening time. And this is the evening time message. This is a vindicated voice of a prophet that has delivered these things to us. Do you believe it?
Amen.
And so it wasn't the person who just said, well, I'll go in and I'll eat the lamb, but I'm going to go out until dark and play with my buddies. No. Your buddies don't even believe this. Because while you're out here, your buddies are going to get you distracted. Next thing you know, wrath's falling and you're not in under the token.
Yep.
See? You got to be careful who you hang out with. Be careful what you spend your time thinking and doing.
That's right.
Because it is Satan is in those things, and if there's a reason why Brother Brent said, now we're going to apply the token. We're going to apply the token. We're going to put out the magazines, and you know what all he said, the televisions and all that. Why? Because that death angel can come through that media. He's the prince of the power of the heirs. So that media, that channel, and Brother Graham knew that was a channel of the devil. That's why he said what he did about comic books. We wouldn't, but they're a channel.
Yep.
And we all have to come to that place where we say, you know what? I got to make a choice here. Am I going to feed on this stuff? Am I going to let my kids feed on this stuff? Or am I going to get them under the token and do everything I can to point them to this? Listen, they got the whole rest of the world trying to get them to feed on that stuff. You don't have to do it because the world will make sure they do it. You make sure that you point them to what's right, to the token. Amen? And so, it wasn't he that just once in a while, but it was he that would come in and stay there, had benefits to it. Stay there until. So in Psalms 91, we read that just a little while ago, and it said, he that dwelleth. You know what dwelleth means? He that stayeth.
That's right.
He that stayeth under the shadow of the Almighty, under the wings of the Almighty, because he's a great eagle, right? And he's come down in our day, and he's expressed himself in the great eagle wings in our day, and we are to get underneath that eagle's wings. We are to get underneath that prophet's message, the wings of that, and he that abideth there, he that stayeth there, right? He that abideth, dwelleth there, stayeth there. He said, you shall not be afraid by the arrows that fly by noonday, by the pestilence that are at night. You know why he said that? Because in the hour we're talking about, there is arrows flying by noonday. There is pestilences that are going out by night. There is a death angel that's through the land. And that's why that he gives you the place of protection, because that is going on. And so he gives you that place of protection, and that you can abide under him, stay there, have that protection. And because of that, because you're in that protection, you will not be afraid. Those things won't bother you. Why? Because they can't get to you, because you've got the blood on the doorpost. You don't have that channel of media that those things, and you really need to go look at what the prophet said about those things. You don't have that channel. You don't have to worry about it. Like I said the other day, Jesus said, "This the prince of this world cometh, and he had nothing in me." We should be able to say that.
Yeah.
Praise God. Rapture's coming tomorrow morning, and Satan got nothing in me. I'm ready to go. I don't have a foot hanging out, and my heart's not hanging out. I'm soul, body, and spirit in underneath the token. Amen. And so you won't be afraid because you're in that protection. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right, but it will not come nigh thee. That's what he said, right? Why? Because we live in an hour where there are thousands falling all around us, but it oughtn't be coming to us. When they get all bent out of shape and all this stuff going on, it shouldn't bother us. Why? Because we're not feeding on that stuff. That's not what we run. We're not running in that excess. We're running with Christ. So it don't bother us. Right? It don't. We have no fear of that. We will not come nigh thy dwelling. Will not come nigh the place where you dwell. We all live somewhere. We all spend our time somewhere. Now, physically, my house is out there. I won't say it, the address. But physically, it's out there. Y'all know where it is. But what about spiritually? Where do I spend all my time spiritually? Right? Because physically, I can go over to here, and I can go over here, and I can go over there. But which one do I dwell at?
Yeah.
The one I dwell at is the one where I go enter into rest with. And you should be able to find rest in the presence of the Holy Spirit, rest in the presence of the Word. And if when you're upset and so forth, you go to another channel to find rest, you really need to think about what your token is. Because Brother Rand said, he is our peace, he is our joy, he is our comfort. It's in him. And so, In our walks with life, and maybe trying things out here, you find out it's a disappointment. Then we come to him and we stay with him, because we found out that he's the only one that truly satisfies.
Yeah.
Amen. So it will not come nigh our dwelling. It will not come the place that we dwell if we dwell underneath the token. Amen. Outside of that, well, it's a different story. You believe it.
Amen.
I will challenge you. As Brother Bram always said, check up. Check up every hour. You know, I listened to a sermon, part of a sermon, Brother Bill Ivey. And he was talking about how that, he said, there's two men that Brother Bram said were excellent pastors. And he named them. One of them was Brother Neville. I forget who the other one was. And he is, and Brother Ivy said, he said, Brother Ivy said, now you know I'm not an evangelist. I'm your pastor. He said, you know I'm not an evangelist. So I preach like a pastor. Right? He said, but Brother Ram said, these two men were real pastors. And he said, those two men would put you asleep. He said, I'm an evangelist compared to them. But he was pointing out, and it's true. People look for stuff that makes you feel good, stuff that makes you on the outside and you inspire and you're all happy, and we like those things, you know what? We like the things that are sweet to taste and tasty, but you know, some of the best food you can eat is not the stuff that's so tasty. The vitamins, how many's ever had vitamins? I know nowadays they make vitamins taste really good, but you know what? Vitamins in themselves don't taste good if they don't dope them up.
Right.
But some of the best things that you need isn't so glorious.
Yeah.
That's why God sends you pastors. That's why he'll have somebody that's got a nature about him of sturdiness will stay right there and keep. And that's not to say that you won't have times where you can rejoice and have the sweet things, okay? Once in a while, that'll come out. But what's more important is to come down to the things that really matter, that we get in line with that which is right, and to stay there. And we all have to make that decision, and we've all failed, and we all fall short of that. But today I want to encourage you, challenge you, check up. Look at where you spend your time spiritually. Ask yourself. You can be at the checkout, Sister Vicki, and be in Christ. I trust that she is. Even with irate customers wanting money back for milk that's been expired for 3 months or something like that, you know. I seen that up at Brahms the other day. A guy had brought a jug of milk in there, and there was about that much in the bottom of it. He was wanting his money back. She said, you don't drink it all, you know. But you can have the Holy Spirit even though you're having to work that job, be out in the heat of the sun, Jordan, and you can have the peace of God.
That's right.
Right? And that's where we want it.
Yes.
We want to be in such a place where we're so dead to this world and Christ is so alive in us that whatever goes on in the world don't matter. Because you know what? One of these days, something big is going to happen in this world. And we don't want to be tied to it. Right? And that is coming. And as Brother Daniel, I thought his opening was very fitting. Very fitting. You can't say, well, I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm just going to take the neutral ground. Because I've told you about that. And yeah, forgive me if it's, you know, for repeating, but, you know, the field with the fence in the middle and people all over the place. And Christ comes out and says, everybody that served me, get over here on this side. Satan says, come, everybody come on, serve me, get on this side. And everybody moves back and forth. And next, after a while, there's a group over here for Christ, a group over here for Satan. And one guy's sitting on the fence. Christ comes out and takes all his people. Satan comes out and takes all his people. And here's this guy left alone. He's like, see, I didn't take sides. And after a while, Satan comes out and says, come with me. He's like, oh, no. I don't have to go with you because I didn't choose you or Christ. And Satan said, that's okay because I own the fence.
That's right.
And you know what? He owns the fence.
That's right.
Christ don't need a fence. Are you on the fence? You realize you can take a whole lifetime of holding grudges and having pain and sin and the bondage of sin in your life and you can get rid of it like that. You can. In the day that you seek him with all your heart, that's the day that you find him. So let me challenge you this morning. Think about it. Think about where you dwell in your life most of the time, spiritually speaking. Think about it. Think about what occupies your time. What occupies your thoughts. Because Satan is a master at moving in and taking, hijacking those things. You remember, he is not a gentleman. He will force you.
That's right.
Christ is always a gentleman. So he'll make it known to you. And I think a Christian is a gentleman. They will say so. They will live in front of you. They're not going to force you to do anything. But listen, you've got to make a choice. What am I going to do with this token that is before me? Amen. So God bless you. Let the musicians come up and we'll just worship the Lord for a little bit. We bow our hearts to him. Say, Brother Tony, you've spoken this morning and you've spoke to my heart. I have places in my life that I want to surrender to Christ in a greater way. Then do so. It's real simple. It's right there in your heart. Say, Lord, you see where I'm at. You know, saints, the Bible lets us know that he knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. He knows that. He knows what we're up against, and he knows how to help you escape any type of temptation that you're going through. He knows how to do it. He has overcome all things, and all you got to do is ask him, Lord, come. Come and deal with my heart and help me. You've overcome, so you come live in me, and you help me to overcome. You know what? I do the same thing. in the last few days, I've said, Lord, help me overcome these trials. I can't do it, and neither can you. But you ask him sincerely, Lord, come help me. You see me. I don't want to fail you. I don't want to put a black mark on your name. I want to live the way I should live before you and before the world. Saints, he wants to live in you that way greater than you do. Amen. And so, Heavenly Father, we just want to ask now, God, that you take these words that have been spoken. I ask, God, that you would commit them to the deepest depths of the hearts of your children this morning. God, that they would be so lodged in there that they'd never be able to go away. As Brother Daniel said, Pilate, he thought he could wash his hands of it. And yet he died with that blood on his hands. And Brother Graham said, the way to deal with that is to take that blood that's on your hands and put it into your heart. And I'm asking, God, that you'd help your children today. Maybe there are certain portions of their life that they have in their heart to serve you, but maybe there's portions of their life that they haven't fully committed and they don't know how to overcome. I'm asking, God, that you'd help them today. Live in them, be that overcomer in them, and allow them to take that blood and put it into their hearts that you would live there. We love you, Lord. We're asking this blessing upon each of your children. Lord, I ask, God, that if there is rebellion in any hearts that they rebel against your word, Lord, that you would defeat that thing and cause them to be hungry and thirsty for the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we know if they do, that they be filled. We love you. Ask, God, that you do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. We'll stand. And we're good to be in the house of the Lord with you. We'll sing a song.
I bless your name.
Isn't that such a wonderful name? Let's get ready to sing that song that we sung at the beginning, the name of Jesus.
Yeah,
that one. So, what a beautiful name.
Yeah, 864.
Amen. You know that song we just sung, some midnight hour, if you should find. Saints, we do find ourselves in midnight hours.
That's right.
We find it all the time. But just always remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is there with you in that prison cell to set you free. We have many times in our life where it's like that. Amen. You know, just wanted to, meant to do this last Sunday and I forgot, but I told Brother Daniel, I'd really like to have, and I've been thinking about this for probably over a month, I'd really like to have a youth service weekend of youth services, and where our youth actually conduct service. Singing, worship, opening the service, and we'll supply you a minister for the meetings. But how do you young people feel about that? Would y'all like to get involved in something like that? So is that an okay? So if I do it, you're gonna have to come forth. You're gonna have to come with me, right? We'll just have to see how the Lord works on our youth. But you know, I really wanted to do this for a while. Let them, because you know what, saints, if the Lord tarries, we'll have another generation. Somebody else have to be standing here singing songs, preaching the word, carrying this light forward. And if the Lord tarries, and I go, we all go, those of us are older, I hope to be able to look past the banister in time. I won't be able to look down and see that our youth are carrying that torch on.
Yes.
The same fire that Paul had, that Brother Branham had, that we have, that you'll have that same fire, and not some painted fire, but the real fire, and go forward. So I'd like to do that, and so I know we got youth that can sing, we got youth that can do the music, we got all kinds of talents in our youth. Some of it hadn't shown up yet. But I rest assured, God's got gifts there, and he knows how to make them come forward. And so I'd like to do that, but I just wanted to put that out there, and so I would also ask for those of you who know that I need to hear from you on this. I need schedules from each of you that have things that would prevent us having weekends. So if Brother Tim, Brother Matt, Brother Daniel, if any of the rest of you have any particular weekends that you know that would not be a good weekend to have special meetings. And by the way, it might be a youth weekend, but we grown-ups are going to be there too. We'll probably sit in the back, but let you. Just let me know so I can kind of make out a calendar, because I would like to schedule some special meetings and I need to know what are good and bad times. And so if you could let me know just within the next, I'll give you a couple of days maybe if you could do that. Is that too quick? Be all right? Okay. So in the next couple of days, let me know. Because I have, it's funny, I have had a particular minister on my heart. Brother Daniel had the same one on his heart, and I've got another brother that keeps coming back to me. And I think that he would do us some good, but I haven't talked to him yet. We'll see. So anyway, Lord bless you. Let's sing this song, and then you can be dismissed. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
I would ask you if you love me, but I preached an awful long this morning, so I thought that too, but I wanted to deliver my heart.